Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello and welcome along to our brand new RT Sport podcast, Camogie Extra, your go-to source for all things Camogie as we deliver the latest news updates for the 2024 Championship. Join me, Marie Crowe, and Orla Keeling, who will be with me every week, plus a selection of guests as we dive into match previews, post-game analysis, and much, much more. So for today, I'm delighted to be joined by Orla. As I mentioned, Orla is of RT Sport, former Cork manager Matthew Toomey and former Galway player Anne-Marie Hayes. You're so very, very welcome. There's lots to get through today. So much has just happened and loads to look forward to as well. But before we get into all of the action, I want to go to you, Matthew, first and just ask you, how are you finding life away from Cork Camogie?
It's different. I suppose I've 99 problems, but Camogie ain't one. Look, it's when you go out to the matches and all that, like it's tough watching, but like obviously this is a fierce attachment to the team and the management, like, and look, just excited being a supporter now again, like, but I just took a toll so bad again this year. I didn't get involved with the club, like, so I'm kind of plotting along, going to different games and all that. So it's just enjoying the GA from a different perspective again.
When you're watching it, are you looking at them through the lens of a fan, or do you still have a bit of a coaching hat still on?
Yeah, I kind of have to kind of bite my lip a few times, right? Because I kind of sound a bit critical and things like. But it's hard watching because I the same coach is there. Liam's there still, and he's fantastic. And George managing, but I know the system they're playing. I know what they're meant to be doing. And when I see a player from a different perspective, I'd be kind of going, geez, when she just go over there, or, you know, why she do that? Like, so it's just that'll come with time, I know. But you know, look, I was, you know, at the game yesterday, I was excited watching them and looking forward to it and all that, but it's from a different perspective, obviously.
Was there a point, Matthew, where it hit you that you weren't involved? Like, was there a specific moment when you kind of realised it? Obviously, it was a big void in the time, but was there a specific moment maybe during the season that it hit you that I'm not involved and I'm going to watch them?
I suppose it was a strange one, actually, because I went up to the league final this year when Tip played Galway, and that was the kind of day I was kind of happy enough with things as well, but I knew that day it was on because, look, I suppose we were lucky enough to be in Croke Park so many times over the last few years and just be up there from a different perspective and knowing that, like, that's the curtain is put on my side of things. Like, there was no major kind of moment I was disappointed or shocked or anything like that because, look, I was in my head for, I was doing the 2 years and that was it, and just, look, life is too busy outside of it, but there's no kind of part of me that must have found or anything like that. There's no part of me that I'm disappointed of the decision. Like, you know, look, everyone loves to play big games.
The time as well, Matthew, that goes into managing. I don't know, like, sometimes do people realise, you know, maybe see, like, they know that hurling is really big and football is big, but the time that a manager puts in and all the coaching staff and the players put into Camogie, I think, is so massive. And sometimes I don't know, do people realise, like, it's nearly a full-time job when you're managing a Camogie team, an inter-county Camogie team.
It definitely is. I started off with Paddy in 2014, and you know better than me, even previous times to that, but there wasn't as much into it. I know Paddy was putting a lot of time into it, but, like, I think from Paddy, Tan Downey brought it up another level, then Cahill came in, brought up another level, Brian came up and brought up another level, so we had to, I suppose, when Davey was involved with us, when he stepped away, we had to go to a different level as well then, because, look, you can't replace someone like Davey. It's from morning to dusk. Like, we send out wellness forms to the players every morning, you know, just to see how they were feeling. Did they sleep okay? Had any issues? You know, if there's a time of the month, what way they were with this? And we would have to tailor our session. It was like that was driven by our S&C and our physio. So they tailored the session then to the coach. So then the coach would be on what we're doing. So we'd have an email out then to everybody of what we're doing. I'd be talking to Liam during the day as well and all that. And then you go training. But, like, that's only just organising for a training session. The other stuff, like, we had so many side shows last year with dual clashes and so on, like, in the strikes. And yeah, it was non-stop. So 40, 50 hours a week, I can easily say that I can put my hand on my heart and say that was definitely what Cork Camogie was to me for the last 2 years now.
And Matthew, just the players themselves, like, just seeing the increase in commitment and the drive then that matches that increase in demand, you must be just blown away by what the players do week after week.
Absolutely. Like, and look, I suppose the ideal person to come in when Davey came in 2022 to us, he couldn't believe. He was saying they were actually probably doing more because we were out six nights a week training, between recovery sessions, between, you know, the gym sessions, etc. Like, and the players out of pocket for us, like, you know, I know they get, I caught a pittance off the GPA, whatever like that. It doesn't go half. Like we had Libby Coppinger, which lives in Cahill, which is 2 hours to drive up and down. Like, you know, there's a few like that. Ashley Thompson coming down from Limerick, and you know, like they break a hurley, they replace themselves. Like, so I felt that myself when I kind of thought about taking on the man, I wanted to bring that up to try and get them looked after as much as you could. Like, but they don't get the credit. Like, and it's Cork, it's Galway, it's all the teams. They don't get the credit for what they do, you know, compared to what the lads get. And they definitely don't have the resources to look after them compared to what the lads get. Like, so it like, since 2014 till this year, the changes have been massive, but it's still nowhere near it. Like,
I'm sure at some stage on this podcast we're going to have a chat about integration, but you would hope that might help a little bit, that there will be more equality. It's just going to take time. But I know from talking to so many people, just the commitment that the players put in. I do think it helps a little bit if you're winning. I always think the teams that aren't winning.
The team aren't winning, I think it's so much harder. Like, at least if you get to Croke Park and you win at the end of the year, you've something for your reward. But even the teams that have been beaten, they're minus 130 on the table this year. Like, those teams have still put in a huge effort and a huge commitment. And that's kind of my big fear, I suppose, for some of those teams, is how do you retain those players if they're going out day after day? They're putting in huge effort, huge commitment, driving from all over the country to training, and then they're just getting hammered. And it's, I don't know, will they be able to retain those players if that continues?
Yeah, it's really tricky.
And it's even beyond resources as well, as you said there, even money. Like if you pumped money into Clare Camogie or Antrim Camogie, we'd say it doesn't matter, because people, like, even coming to, like, I struggle. Even the first year I got involved, I asked 20 coaches to get involved with Clare Camogie, and they turned me down. And like, it's more than 20, but I can say safely 20. Like, I remember Paddy rang me first day in 2013, and he said to me, like, you know, we had a long chat. Like, I was first keen as soon as he rang me. It was after finishing up our senior hurling team in the club. But the way he said it to me, he said, I have a 50-50 chance of getting to Croke Park. And I went, mother of God, like, I'm there. But like, you go to declare to all these teams and all that, like,
yeah,
you can't give a guarantee like that. And like, I'm just mentioning there, no, I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, but it's very hard then to get the people involved, not the minds, the money, like, because like, everyone thinks Cork has the bottomless pit of money. We certainly don't. Like, we had to go fundraising last year and the year before just to get money to break even. But it all goes back then to, like, you know, where's the money, where's this and all that. But it's just the support, isn't there? There was a nice crowd on Park of Kiev yesterday, and it was a lovely atmosphere there. But look, it's still nowhere near. Like, if Cork Camogie can't make money through the gate or somewhere else, where are you meant to get it? Unless it's a sugar daddy or something like that. But I don't know. I don't understand, you know, how they can financially support all this now.
Orla, from a coaching perspective, I know you're really involved. Are you finding that more people want to get involved in coaching Camogie, or is it as stark as Matthew said there, that it can be difficult to get people involved?
I think it can be very difficult. Like, a point I was going to make maybe later on in the podcast, if you look at Dublin, you know, their most consistent manager since David Herity left in 2018 is Adrian O'Sullivan. They had five managers in 4 years between that. Like, for a county panel, I don't know, as Matthew and Anne-Marie already said, how do you commit to that? And especially for a county like Dublin, when you look to your counterparts, if you're a dual player, you know, and Dublin are winning Ladies All-Ireland football, you know, they won four in a row, they won last year. You know, what's the buy-in for players in Dublin at the moment? I don't know. Like, when you're looking at that from, like, obviously the lads are there a little bit now, they're just under 2 years there. So that's, again, more consistency for them. But I think it is very difficult. And Matthew, I'm really glad you brought it up, because I think it's even at a media day a couple of weeks ago, talking to a lot of the girls, a lot of them are saying new manager this year, new management. There seems to be a really high turnover, and I'm not really sure what the solution is. Does the Camogie Association need to do something? Do they need to step in? I think it's something we're also seeing at the club level as well. I really don't know what the solution is, but I agree with Matthew. I think there's a real big issue in terms of maintaining and retaining management and coaching positions in Camogie.
And in management, Orla, you look at Dublin, if you're just after saying there, each of those managers will want a different style of play. You know, and I think it can take a long time to build up or get players into a certain frame of mind to play a certain way. Like, Matthew, that style of play that you play in Cork, that's going on for 10 or 12 years. Like, you know, people know, like, it's that running game, breaking forward at speed. But like, if you have four different managers, they're all going to have a different take on how to play. Like, again, it comes back to consistency for players and like trying to build a game plan. And I think that takes a couple of years to build something like that.
Absolutely. And even I think 1 year there was a management stepped away. I think it could have been 2020.
Yes.
Wrong. But the management started the year and they stepped away. I know it was quite a different season that year. But even having two managements in 1 year and building, you know, trying to build every year, you know, the girls want to go traveling, they want to do other things, move on with their professional career. Yeah. It's such a time commitment. As you say, there's so many different styles. You might be starting 1 year and then a completely different style. You might not be involved or you might not get as much time. And that's going to be very frustrating as a player.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get into Dublin in a while. And even on that Dublin team, so many of the players have moved around positions as well, which is quite an interesting one. Some of the forwards going back into the backs, and we'll discuss that because we do now know our quarterfinal pairing. So it's going to be Kilkenny against Dublin and Galway against Waterford. But Chip and Cork have topped their groups with really impressive performances over the weekend. So we're going to start with the Cork and Galway game. I think that Galway, or the expectation was that Cork would win, but not sure that people thought that it would be quite so much. Looking at Cork though, Matthew, they dismantled Galway with relative ease. How impressed are you with how well they're motoring? Actually, what impressed you most about them?
I was very impressed. I was going down there kind of with an edge of major edge of caution, I suppose, over our history with Galway over the last 6 or 7 years. I was very impressed with the running game. The likes of Laura Hayes was flying Aoife Healy around midfield. They were, I think it was the 28th minute, they were 1-9-4 up, and Galway got 1-1 just before half time, just to kind of bring back the game. But I'm after analysing, obviously, Galway over the last, we say, 10 years. I've missed a match, very rarely missed a match in Championship over them for the last few years. But in video analysis, I think it was the most un-Galway performance I've ever seen in my recent history. They got, I think they're starting 6 forwards, got 1-1 from play. They didn't score for 90 minutes in the start of the second half. Like, that's not Galway. And it was, like, the feist wasn't there. I know there's a couple of players missing, and maybe Cahill was trying different things, but looking at the teams over the last few games for Galway, they've I think there was 11 changes going into one game. There was 5 changes going into another game. So it seems very unsettled. They're often losing like Shawnee Healy, Sarah Dorvin, Gardner, Hilbert. They're like the 6 players, I think, that I like, very familiar to me, that are missing this year. And all of them are leaders. And to lose that and the team then, that, you know, you have to take her hat off. Then you have to, can you come back after having a child and everything? Great credit to her, like, but is she back to her full best yet? I don't think so. It was a strange game because
they've been crippled with injury as well, Matthew. Yeah. Like Aoife Donoghue was out, like she's been a crucial part of that forward setup. Siobhan Gardner did recruit at the start of the year. Niamh Kilkenny and didn't start yesterday. Shannon Corcoran, you know, they've had a lot of injury woes this year. And as you say, again, they haven't had a settled team at all in the Championship. And I think yesterday maybe was their first real test as well. Like, I know they drew with Wexford, blown Wexford, but the other games they kind of, you know, ran out handy winners. And like yesterday was a huge test. And Niamh Mallon, who has been a huge addition, but like Pamela Mackey did a serious job on her yesterday. She didn't get a sniff of it. And I suppose it was further out the field as well. They put off the supply going in. Galway had been delivering a nice ball into her, but there was no supply yesterday going into her. But I do think Galway will they're under pressure against Waterford, I feel, because of the injuries they have and the lack of having a settled team as well.
Yeah, and then I think near the end of the game there, Anne-Marie started and looked great going off. They had to carry her off the field as well. So that's another one in the backline that's depleted already. So, look, I major positive for Galway. I thought Dover Higgins, as usual, was very good, like, and strong, and the backs were, you know, very tough. But this is when they go, when the Galway's backs against the wall now as well. So they're going into the water for a game, kind of, you know, probably down with a point to prove, and Galway or Waterford coming to the game then more on confidence after a good win yesterday. So like it makes for a very interesting game, but I certainly wouldn't be writing off Galway at this stage either. Like,
one thing about Cork, Matthew, that a lot been made of is just how well they're handling the pressure of going for that second All Ireland. They almost seem to be thriving under it. Is that something that you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. See, I suppose when you're out in the field, like, you know, there's probably 2 or 3 players on the sideline that are probably very disappointed weren't starting. So, like, I think that's the environment we've created for the last few years, and the lads are continuing it and, you know, improving in it this year, is that it's competitive even for the first 20. You know, there's 30 players we bring minors in every year, and the lads did the same this year, you know, again. So they're the kind of people that they want, like, that's the kind of environment we want to set up, is just we want them to be the best players they possibly can be, and try and help them to do that and achieve more if they can, even 1 or 2% sure is huge. And they have that kind of psyche in their head, like, and they go out, like, there's no kind of big head about them or anything like that. And there hasn't been, like, as Eamon Ryan always said, like, you come back after winning with a small head and a small arse, like, you know. So, like, they came back in with the right frame of mind to take this on again. And, like, you know, they're in the semi final. I know for a fact they're concentrate now in the next 4 weeks, getting themselves right. There'll be no kind of getting carried away with anything, like, because we have tasted so much bitter losses, like, over the few years, so that they know if it's just any kind of slip of the mind there, or a slip of, like, they'll end up back in a depression again.
You would feel after that they are hot favourites for the All-Ireland this year, just with their display and the hunger. You know, you couldn't but see past a Cork getting to an All-Ireland final, you know, unless something goes majorly wrong after watching games yesterday.
Yeah, I just, like, my opinion of them, like, and it probably sound biased, but I just think if Cork perform, it'll take a very good team to beat them. And so it's trying to stop Cork from playing, it would be your first objective. Like, as if, I think if you go toe to toe with Cork, I think they just have too much around the field. You know, they can strike from long inside, they can lethal forward. So it just depends on that. Like,
yeah, I really thought. Sorry, go ahead, Marie.
Yeah, I was just going to say to you, or just the quality that they have all around the pitch. So if somebody isn't performing, there's somebody else just as good to pick up the mantle to show the leadership that they need. When you look at Amy O'Connor, 1-5 the last day, 2-7 against Dublin. Laura Hayes, I saw her been described over the weekend as a rampaging halfback. They just have so many big players built for the big day almost, Orla.
Absolutely. And isn't that the key to any All-Ireland winning team, is the depth and the competition in the training squad? Like, Matthew, you know from last year, sometimes your level of training, you know, might even go ahead, you know, be a higher standard of some of your matches. But that's key for them. They have so many threats around the field. I really thought yesterday was such a statement win for them to go out and to perform the way they did and put up a big score. Obviously, they had a big score the week previous, but to do it against Galway and, you know, maybe a fixture they would have struggled with for the last couple of years, I think that'll give them huge confidence. Matthew, I was going to throw a question at you. In terms of, from a Galway perspective, when you're managing so many injuries and when the team is so unsettled, what do you do to try maintain confidence within your squad and try help them kind of back themselves even when the chips are down?
Well, it probably happened to us last year. Like, we got four cruciates up to, I think, February or March last year. And then the first league game, Katrina Mackey got a bad belt. She was out for 12 weeks. Like, Orla Cronin was out for a good few weeks. We were down, and we were playing down with 19 players out of a panel of 32. There was, I think, there was one training session we did. We had 14 players training. We had 18 between football and being injured. You really have to harp on. I suppose what we did, we could see that we were going to be depleted in numbers. So what we did was we got the minors who were just after finishing the All-Ireland series, and we got them into the pan, and just for the training purposes, but actually to show them as well, like, you know, like, the minors standard is very good and all that, but it's the step up is incredible. Like, you see players who dominate minor and come up and they're being blown out with the speed. And I think it's a great, like, it was probably done more by circumstance than anything genius by us, but like, we brought these minors in to show them, this is what you have to, you know, this is the level you have to get to if you want to be a Cork senior or any other senior player. And just going to another point there about the panels, like, my fear going on there yesterday is that Cork were out two of their stalwarts in the full back line, and obviously Gobb's full forward line was very good, but Libby, I don't think we see her for the rest of the year. She got a bad injury, she's had surgery a couple of weeks ago, and Maeve Callahan's out injured, and she's fighting to be back fit for hopefully for the semi-final. So I thought that would be a big threat. Like, they put Izzy O'Regan, who 2 years ago was a wing forward, we put her back wing back last year, and she was cornerback yesterday, or full back yesterday. So, like, the depth, what they're trying to improve on is amazing.
The subs they brought on were very good, Matthew, as well. And to be honest, that kind of change turned the tide for you as well last year in the semi-final against Galway. Four subs came on after half-time. And I don't know, they scored 3 or 4 points between them, you know. And I thought that you probably had more, what you brought on yesterday offered more than what Galway maybe had on the bench yesterday.
Yeah, and I suppose when the team is there's a spring in Cork step yesterday, so the players coming on, it's easy to come into a team like that. But like for the subs of Galway yesterday, with all due respect to them, they're coming on, they're under pressure.
Anne-Marie, I expected Galway to trouble Cork's defenders a little bit more than they did yesterday. Why do you think they didn't?
I just thought that the Cork half back line were so solid, they were so settled, and they were the launch pad for so many of their attacks. Galway just found it so difficult to break them down yesterday, and probably around the middle of the field as well. Like Aoife Healy and Aisling Thomson had a serious command there, and it was difficult to break down those two lines. I thought that's where Cork were so strong, and that Galway just couldn't get past them, I felt. And even in the tackle, you know, I felt that Galway looked sluggish. Maybe I don't know, the trip down to Páirc Uí Chaoimh or whatever, but they just found it so hard to get going, and you know that drive forward. And maybe last year I felt that Galway kind of lost out against Ian Matthew in the semi-final. I thought that they ran so much ball out to the backs, and then he had clogged up the centre of the field. He turned them over so many times. We had two inside in the inside line, and we just couldn't get the ball into them. And it was similar yesterday. Galway just could not get the ball, decent ball into their, you know, we have good forwards, but the ball just wasn't going in.
Yeah, last year we played them in the first round of the All-Ireland series up in Athenry, and we got beaten by a goal. And I think our conversion rate the same day was 30%. It was woeful, but we dominated the game, a lot of the game. We didn't know, it's the running game and all that. And it was a June weekend and a hot day and all that. We just found a few chinks in it. In that semi final, I suppose what we wanted to be in the game is up to the last 15 minutes, because when we analysed all the games we played against Galway in the years previous, is that we were nearly ahead in every game 15 minutes to go, and Galway pushed us on. Again, like what you mentioned there about our subs coming on, like the Aisling Thomson, Zara Cronin, and Tina Healy, Laura Hayes coming on. Again, there were circumstances, they were all coming back from injuries. They couldn't last 70 minutes. So it wasn't that, again, and we were doing fantastic, but we did find that, like I think even yesterday as well. But Laura Tracy's playing, like we don't play a sweeper, like the first narrative we do, we don't. It's just everyone that plays a sweeper against us. So Laura Tracy's standing on her own. So I even thought yesterday that Galway's distribution of the ball was poor, because Laura Tracy mopped up. No, Áine Keane did a bit on the other side as well, but Cork were able to, you know, Liam Cronin's excellent at, you know, working around that. But I felt Laura Tracy yesterday, you know, she was on so much ball, and she's the starting point for all Cork's attacks. You know, she's extremely intelligent. To me, one of the best players Cork we have in the last 10 years. Extremely good at starting, and like she has the knack as well. If the two girls in behind her are under pressure, she's back to the D as fast as she can get. Like.
I think this break for Cork has come at a perfect time to let those injuries come back. And I really like the way the system is going, that they're rewarding if you top the group, because I think you should get a reward if you do top your group. And for Cork, I couldn't think of a better time for them to get 2 weeks, you know, get those girls in, you know, allow injuries to kind of hopefully kind of progress and move back to the getting close to maybe a 60-minute performance, but also to get an advantage of watching your opponent next week and having that rest and that time, I think is really valuable for Cork at this moment.
I think the big difference in 12 months as well is that we played Galway in the first game last year and we got beaten, so we knew at best that we were going to a quarter final, so we could prepare that way. I think for Galway coming up to this week, like and Cork probably the same. I don't know the ins and outs of the Cork management either, but you're thinking if we lose, we're going to a quarter final. So you we've only 1 week turnaround, which I think is tough going. Like to travel down to Cork now last week, now to travel off to Dublin next week, you know. With injuries and tiredness, as Anne-Marie said a while ago, so like it's a bit tougher this year, I think. Like the one, like I know I could hear the commentary that yesterday that, you know, will Cork, is the break too long for Cork? You know, I don't think it is. I totally agree with you. I think look, 1 week is not going to kill anybody. Like that, you don't have a game this week. They can go hard on the train this week now, or take it easy, whatever they choose to do. So I just think it's tough on Galway now, especially.
Yeah, and Waterford and Marie are coming in off the back of a really big win against Derry. They'll be full of confidence racking up 3:15 and coming in just with a different sense after a victory than there is after a defeat like the one that Galway suffered. How difficult is it going to be for Galway to pick themselves up and face into this Waterford team?
Well, I suppose the only thing Cathal Murray can do is like it's knockout at this stage. That, and I think for Waterford. And Waterford in the last couple of years when they've played Galway, they don't care, you know, that Galway, they came up there in the league this year, they ran Galway to a point, Galway only won by a point in Loughrea, In 2019, we went down to Thurles and watched them play. Waterford had 2-7 on the board at half time. They were ahead. They were nearly double scores. So, like, Waterford will come into next weekend. I think probably the All Ireland final, maybe from last year, will be the ace in the tail coming back to Croke Park. Like, they were really well beaten by Cork. They were totally dismantled. But they'll come back and they want to make amends. They're under new management. They've got a lot of their players back. Now, my only concern was yesterday that Vicky Faulkner didn't start. And I think she is a massive player to come back in. And it would have been good for her maybe to get some game time. But again, you see more players getting on the board. Like, their over-reliance on Beck Carton last year. Like, she was just, and she's been sublime. Like, she's been player of the championship. You know, one of the top scorers. But you see Murray O'Brien, Annie getting on, Annie Fitzgerald getting on the scoreboard, Abby Flynn, all those girls, Mairead O'Brien adding to it, you know. So it's important for Waterford that those girls continue to score. And I think for Waterford, they won't care about Galway coming in. They'll be delighted that Galway will be down in the dumps after this weekend, because it is difficult. I don't care what people say, like coming out of Páirc Uí Chaoimh yesterday and knowing that you have a short turnaround, that is hard. And especially if they're all the injuries that Galway have. But they have no choice now. They just have to pick themselves up back into training on Tuesday night. You know, they won't be doing a whole lot this week, just sorting out whatever injuries they have and seeing who's ready for next again. I'm assuming that Aoife Donoghue will be back in the fray for next again, that she'll be have recovered. Shannon Corcoran is another one there who missed out with she had a bad shoulder injury. So, like, for me, it's just pick yourselves up, dust yourselves down. This is knockout stages. Get back on the horse next weekend. And Croke Park is going to open up a huge, like, the big field yesterday, I think, had a lot to do with it too. Galway just, I thought, looked a bit sluggish and they were a small bit behind. So next weekend, just, you know, back on the horse again.
Matthew, Anne-Marie mentioned Abby Flynn. She got 1-2 against Derry and Mairead O'Brien. Is that the evolution that you're seeing of this Waterford team, that they're easing the scoring burden on Beth Carton?
I think that's the critical point of it. I think, like, even last year, like, in the All-Ireland final, things, everything went wrong for them, everything right for us. And, like, but, like, Beck was still the threat. Lorraine Bray, like, you know, she's around midfield, she's incredible. Like, but, like, Niamh Rockett, like, fantastic player, but, like, they need something marquee inside there, like, you know, just to be a consistent. Like, Abby Flynn get 1-2 yesterday. I think she got a goal the year to be previous as well. They have to step up now, and that's critical for Waterford to progress, like, to beat Galway, to beat whoever else. They have to beat on the route. Are they capable of doing it? Yes, they are. But I just think that the pressure has to come off. Like, I think they got 3-15 yesterday. Beck got 2-8 still. So that's more than half your score still. Like, and look, she's an outstanding player. Like, and we tried everything on her last year, and she still, I thought we did well enough, but she still got some exceptional points. But look, I think the way the Waterford are, like, of course they were disappointed over the All Ireland final and all that. But I think they've responded very well. You know, I saw them playing a good few times this year. You know, and they're, like, they're a threat to anybody to play, I think, for the rest of the year. Like.
Yeah, I agree, Matthew. I think they've really come out this year with a point to prove, and I think they've really taken, you know, that loss and how dramatic of a loss it was, you know, on the chin, and they've come out and they've really came out with a point to prove. And I think they'll go into Croke Park with a point to prove as well, because they're back to where they were last year. And as well, I think the Munster final, I was at that game, saw clips of it and stuff like that. They were definitely a lot closer to Cork, obviously. So I think they'll want a point to prove. They'll want to be in a semi-final. They'll want to be back. Beck Carton is unbelievable. As you say, other players are stepping up. They've new management. I think things are clicking, and I think we're seeing a Waterford that are fearless and are just going to come into this Galway game. And I'm really going to back them. I think, obviously, with the struggles that Galway are having, I think Waterford are really clicking in this championship so far. And I think we're really going to see, I think it could be a cracking game, but I'm back in Waterford next weekend.
Yeah, we'll get your predictions at the end. We're going to move on to the Tip and Kilkenny game, a much more competitive affair. Matthew, Tip are building on their league success. They have the consistency now that they might not have had in the past. And I think when we look at that Kilkenny game, it felt like a really big scalp because of the timing. How happy are they going to be now heading into the semi-final after their performance this whole season, really?
Yeah, I think they'll be buzzing. I'm after seeing them a few times live this year now. Because Maria's from Tipperary, so I have no choice. But I just think that there's a different dynamic to them this year, and I think winning the league final is a huge monkey off their back. They were always threatening for the last few years, like, but just to get some silverware and as the manner with which they won the league final was great as well. But They're unbeaten in the series so far. Like, and I just think yesterday, even when like they were well up at halftime and Kilkenny came back at them, they still held out. It's not like when you have someone like Karen Kennedy, like to me that's probably their big conundrum is if you put her centre back, she's exceptional, but she's lost in centre forward. If you put up centre forwards, vice versa. Like, so it's I just think like Beck Carton is like, you know, I think it's a narrative that we all say that she's one of the best in the country, but I don't think I genuinely don't think Karen's too far behind her. The big thing with Tipperary as well, like, you know, I know they lost Caoimhe Burke last year to the goalkeeper to a cruciate, and Nicole Walsh got the goal, and like she seems to be kind of doing well in there as well this year. Like, so that's a big plus for them. But again, the share of scores yesterday, you know, Grace O'Brien, I really like Roisin Howard. She's just a very, very honest player. She's the kind of player I love on my team because she's never going to make the headlines, but she's always just the busy bee out in the wing and winning dirty ball and winning the freeze. So they're, like, I think the fact that they avoided the qualifying is probably great for their confidence as well. I think they just need time to settle in now and see who their opposition is and focus on that. Like, because look, last year they were the better team for 30-40 minutes against Waterford in the semi-final, but just something happened, capsized. So I know Dennis and like they've got a name in Cork this year now as well, who's a massive asset to them. So like I'd say they'll be just chomping at the bit now to right the wrong from last year.
Camogie, though, Tipperary seems to be on a high. Like, they've won the minor A only a couple of weeks back. Their Premier Juniors had a win yesterday. Like, Camogie really seems to be on the up. Like, I remember being down at a game in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Matthew, a couple of years ago, and Tipperary, their over reliance on Cáis Devan, like, and totally let them down. But like, they have evolved so much, you know, their forwards. Yes, they had a spread of scores, and as you say, Karen Kennedy has got goals there. If Bubbles Dwyer, you know, someone, the Tipperary hurlers got them, they'd be talking about them, you know. Like, the goal she got in the league final, she got another similar goal there in one of the championship games I watched click back. And you know, she is just such a fine player. But they're not just reliant now on one player. Cáis is back, and I do think that's brilliant addition as well to have her on the bench. I don't think maybe she'd last 60 minutes, but to be able to bring her on, she's come into a couple of games. Like, what a player to bring on, her experience and her ability to put ball over the bar from distance out near the sideline. I think she could be, we'll see her in the semi-final, I'm sure. And, you know, we could see some bit of magic from her too.
Definitely. And to win the league final without her as well, they hadn't for the whole league campaign. So that was a big, you're on your point, it is definitely right. Just to win such a big tournament like that without, you know, your marquee forward, I suppose, for the last 10, 15 years. And as you say, then the spread of scores has been great. Like, Eamon McGrath popped up with two goals a couple of weeks ago, and Grace was good yesterday. So look at that. I would not like to be playing them.
I think for Tipperary, obviously that loss against Waterford in the Munster Championship, that could have been a bit of a jumpstart for them to kind of get going again. Obviously winning the league, then that loss is kind of a wake-up call of, oh, you know, we're not invincible here. You know, there's going to be people coming at us. But as you said, like, this two-week break, I think for them, and just building their confidence. And even Anne-Marie, I was going to ask you about, from a player's perspective, obviously winning the league 20 years ago, they won the league and the All-Ireland. What sort of, you know, how much do you buy into that storyline? Do you push the back of your head? Is there a lot of hype around Tipperary about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that winning the league for Tipperary, it depends on where your team is at. I think for them, they needed to win that league because, you know, to win it in Croke Park against Galway, that was a huge win for them. For the likes of Cork, now, I don't know, this may sound, I don't know, for Cork and Galway, won leagues before, you know, and then to go on, won leagues and lost the championship. Which would you pick at the end of the year? For Tipperary, I think, and it was hugely important this year for them because they needed that silverware to win in Croke Park, to beat Galway, to kind of get a month off to beat the big team. So I think it was hugely important for them, more important than what it would have been maybe for Galway to win, to be honest with you.
Matthew, what about Kilkenny? It took them 15 minutes to score. They looked to be really struggling in that first half. They did come roaring back into it in the second half and made it really competitive. Do you think they're going to be able to take confidence from that performance, or is it going to be the loss seen as a negative?
No, I would, like I'd say, half time they would put their hand off to be even with a goal of Tipperary. I know there's a big wind up there and all that, but I know there's news coming out of Kilkenny again this week that Miriam put her cruciate again, which is, it's devastating because she's a lady, but what a class hurler, like. And then to lose, you know, Denise Gall and Claire Phelan, like, they had just this intuition with themselves. Like, when Denise got the ball, she's playing to space, Miriam had the runs, and to lose that from your team is huge. So they have to go looking at their team yesterday. Like, they're still Aoife Pendergrass, Steve Doyle, Katie Porter. They still have quality everywhere, but they just need some bit of luck. Like, you know, it's just since we beat them last year in the quarter final, it seems to be a lot. Like, when Brian Dowling and like what a management team to step away, like, trying to replace that is they were walking to any team anywhere in the country. Like, they were so good. So it's just a new way. Like, I don't know what way Chappie is doing the what style of play he's trying to play or anything like that. So it's quarter final. I would be confident, I suppose, that they will be Dublin. I just think they need a bit of luck, to be fair to them.
Could be an opportunity for Dublin, though, Henry.
Absolutely, will be an opportunity. And Dublin did very well against Galway. You know, they beat Wexford well. They put some big scores, 4-24, 13, 18 points. You know, I think they'll be happy with how their championship has gone. And the fact that they played well against Galway too, that will give them confidence coming into that, you know, that they're in touch and distance of those kind of top four or five big teams. As you mentioned already, Marie, like the moving of Aisling Maher back into centre back, you know, a good player, she can play anywhere. That's been massive for them. I just wonder again with the consistency of management, how will that affect them? And like, I just hope that they can perform. I saw Dublin in a quarter final, Marie. We were down there in Thurles, was it last year, the year before? And like, they got an awful hammering. So I really hope that they can perform next weekend, and that they put in against Kilkenny, because the space in Croke Park again is massive. And for Dublin Camogie, it'll be important that they put in a good performance against Kilkenny next weekend.
Yeah, I agree, Amory. I think I would see this as an opportunity for Dublin. I'm not writing off Kilkenny, but I think they feel like they left that Leinster final behind them. I don't think they didn't perform that day, and they'll say that themselves. But I think, you know, obviously you lost against Cork last week, but getting silverware for the first time, you know, Kerry Finnegan spoke in an interview recently, that's the majority of that team's first ever silverware playing for Dublin. You know, they'll want to, you know, continue to strive and push the success of the group. Obviously the minors won the minor B title a couple of weeks ago as well. They'll want to make sure that those girls have something to aim for and to aspire to, and a standard to join. And I think for them as well, like, as you mentioned already, that Galway, you know, that Galway performance, they ran them quite close. But that win over Wexford, a 12-point win, that was a statement win.
Yeah.
I really hope that they can take confidence from that and go into Croke Park. And, you know, the Croke Park factor, I think, will be a factor, obviously, with the semi-finals. Dublin have played there before. Yes, there won't be the same crowd. They played down, you know, 2 years ago. But for them, they've gone there before. It's not, you know, everything new. They feel like they've left that game behind them. I think they're really going to push for this Kilkenny fixture, and I really hope they put in performance. But again, as Matthew said, you know, it's hard not to look at Kilkenny, but I really hope Dublin put in performance.
Matthew, what do you reckon?
I saw them last week against Cork, Dublin, obviously, and I would have been very disappointed with them. Their performance, they didn't score from play. They got 4 points. I saw the game against Galway, and it was very impressive. So it depends what Dublin turn up. I hope they had the learnings from what they did against Cork, because they just left Cork come at them, ran through them. Like, I don't know what happened with them, but like, there was no biting them at all. They have been coming. We played them 2 years ago, I think, up in Dublin, and we I think it was only about 6 or 7 minutes to go. We pulled away from them. They were. So it depends how they react. You know, I know Kenny will have a crowd up there as well now next week as well. So, like, I just can't see anything but a Kilkenny win there, to be honest.
Okay, so joining Tipperary and Cork in the semi-finals, Matthew, you definitely think Kilkenny. Who else?
I'm very 50-50 in it. It depends what Galway team turn up. If Galway perform, I think it's Galway. But if there's, and like the word yesterday, I can't see past Waterford.
Marie?
Yeah, I'd be hoping that Galway will have a huge improvement on yesterday's performance. That's definitely, I don't think if they perform, as you said, Matthew, like they did yesterday, I think Waterford will beat them. So I'm just hoping that they can dust themselves off now, and that they can, you know, the quick turnaround, that they're able to adjust to it. And hopefully some of those injuries, they'll be back. But I'm really excited. I think that it's going to be the game of the weekend. That Waterford Galway match should be an exciting one.
And Kilkenny Dublin?
Yeah, same as Matthew. I think Kilkenny will beat the Dubs, but I think it depends on what, as he said, what Dublin team turn up like. Wexford, they put in some performance against Wexford, considering that Wexford the previous week had drawn with Galway in Wexford. That was a huge result for Wexford. And then you'd be thinking, you know, Wexford should push on and beat Dublin. Dublin went down and, you know, they beat Wexford. So it depends on what Dublin team turns up and how long they can keep with, you know, keep into Kilkenny. Like, you know, they took some great scores in Thurles that day, but they just couldn't keep it going for long enough. So I do think I can see past Kilkenny.
Yeah. Orla?
Yeah, I agree with the guys. I think both Galway and Dublin, I think it's going to depend on their performance and kind of what style or what style of team we see from them. You know, you mentioned already the amount of changes we've seen in their performances. I'm going to back Dublin on this one. I'm going to go out different to the guys. You know, they haven't reached a semi-final since 2017. They were quarter-final 2018, quarter-final 22 against Kilkenny. I really think, you know, I'm just going to back them on this. I really think, you know, you never know what will happen on Ireland quarterfinal. Again, it could be very much one-sided, but I'm really hoping they put in a good performance. I think in the other game, I'm going to back Waterford. I just think there's something about them this year. They just have that fearlessness. They really have a point to prove. It's going to back the opposite of what the two guys think.
Why not? Matthew, just before we finish up, We've seen quite a few lopsided games throughout this championship. Antrim and Down have been relegated. There'll be a lot of disappointment about the way things finished for a lot of our teams. Do you think that there is an issue in the gap now between the top and the bottom, that there's not enough of a middle ground there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's major. There was six games last week and the average was 24 points. That's 8 goals beaten. As Anne-Marie said a while ago, like you know, since lockdown, we see a difference with the with players and people. Do you know what they're getting all that? Like, you know, I would the likes of Limerick, Down, Antrim, like especially the Down and Antrims, like they have to do so much up there to get teams out, and then Antrim's intermediate team had to give a walk over yesterday against Carlow, like, but they scored 4 points and conceded 190 points in 4 games they played, like. This nonsensical, like this, like even when in the senior, like it's very, very hard. You do a super group and have, we say, the top six, and play it that way and be competitive games every week. So the Corks, the Clares, like we say, Dublin after going to the quarterfinals, so Dublin will be joining the top five and have another group below it. But like it's I don't envy anybody who's looking at this, but it something has to be done because these beatings are no good. Like we were the same last year. Like we got 3-19 against Down, 3-19 against Clare, and like Clare losing 7 or 8 players, I think this year, like it's you can't afford it. Like the Cork, Kilkenny, Galway couldn't afford to do it, so I don't know how these teams can afford to do it. But something has to be done because like you're going to lose the teams. I think the standard will drop more in counties, and as I say, I don't think resources anything like that. Like of course it helps, but it's not going to change this. Like they have to be competitive. They have to have a goal. And what they're doing, you know, because I think some of them teams could go down, and Cork and Galway's second teams or Kilkenny's second teams could be beating them again. So I don't know. It's a big conundrum for me.
You'd wonder what they're doing with Joe McDonagh. Like, could, you know, maybe the teams that were in the bottom six this year going to a tournament like that, and the top team would come out and play in a preliminary quarterfinal, or the top two teams? Because, as you say, I just think for those players that are in Limerick, Antrim, Down, Derry, the commitment that those girls are putting in is equal to what Cork, Galway, Tip, Kilkenny, Dublin, it's equal to what they're putting in, and their managements. And just like, I don't know how you can encourage a player to keep going if that's what's happening every week. They're going out and praying that the 60 minutes is over and that they don't, like what Galway did to Down inside in Pier Stadium. I just don't think that's beneficial for either team. Like Cork and Galway, their first big game was yesterday, Matthew, to be fair. Like, I know that they have come now. I know Galway drew at Wexford, but like to know where you're actually at as well. I definitely think for the retention of players and for respect for players as well, that those players are putting in such effort and commitment that I just don't think it's fair, to be honest.
No, and even from a management point of view, where you're a coach or manager like that, like if you're getting a job like that, how can you pick up your team on a Tuesday night going training? Like what can you do to say to get their confidence back, to make it worthwhile, to get them to buy into you? Like it's extremely hard. We came back from defeats there. We lost 4 in a row last year, and I found it extremely hard. But I knew in the back of my head, if we get this right, we're going to be competitive. I don't know how, and I take my hat off to them because I don't know if I could deal with it, what the pressure these lads are on, and Clare, like, in Derry, the Limericks and all these kind of people, like even to see Joe Quaid yesterday jumping up and down when they got the win against Antrim just to stay up. Like that's not Limerick, like, you know. But and you're going to intermediate, it's the same there again. Like, when this seems to be near the two leagues there, like, Kerry are doing well, Meath are doing well, as I say, Cork second team, Galway second team. But then there's a gulf down the other side. I think Clare's second team came up, and they won the junior last year, and they're being annihilated by everybody as well. And it's just, I think it's very lopsided. Like.
Yeah, I agree. Nobody wants to see that. Hopefully there'll be some discussions about finding a way to make things better, because everybody loves watching Camogie, but we like watching competitive Camogie. That's what it's about. Matthew and Marie Orla, thank you so much for joining me today. We really appreciate you taking the time. It's such an exciting time of the year for Camogie, for all sport, actually. It's a busy time for everybody, but really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks, everybody, for watching and for listening to Camogie Extra as we follow the road to victory in this year's All Ireland Camogie Championships. We're available on the RTE Sportcast and YouTube channels, or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, everyone.